I was asked to speak on the topic of the Jesus prayer and stillness from a monastic perspective, and it immediately reminded me of a request that I was given some 10 years ago when my wife and I had this sort of tremendous opportunity and privilege to go to Greece for a few weeks and spend a week on Patmos and a week in Thessaloniki. But we were in Athens, on the Acropolis of Athens, and a small group of tourists, three or four or five tourists, came up to me, and with kind of, you know, okay but not native English, and said, can we take our picture with you? And I thought that they meant, would I take a picture of them? But they said, no, we want our picture taken with you. And I said, why would you want your picture taken with me? And they said, we would like our picture taken with a real Greek monk. And I said, I'm sorry, but I'm neither a Greek nor a monk. And she said, that's okay, you'll do. That is an honest story, almost verbatim. So I'm here to give you a talk on Jesus' prayer and stillness from a monastic perspective. I'm not much closer, I don't think, to being a monk or a Greek than I was 10 years ago. But these are the words I have for you. It's easy to look on the outside like somebody you're not, a Greek monk. This happened in the Old Testament several times. You know the story of Samuel coming to Jesse and saying, I need to look at your sons. One of them's going to be the king. And so he goes down the list. This is all you have. There's got to be another one somewhere. Well, I got this kid that was out in the fields. Turns out to be David. That's the one. Samuel tells Jesse, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. So we see each other around. We're pretty good at looking okay on the outside, but on the inside, it's a different story. Yesterday, we had the feast day of St. Anthony the Great, and there's a marvelous saying from St. Anthony. There was one of the brother monks that all of the brothers were praising. Oh, this is the greatest monk since, you know, who knows when, since when. And so one day, this great monk that everybody was praising came to visit St. Anthony, and St. Anthony said, well, I wonder how he does with insults. And so St. Anthony insulted him, and he blew a gasket. And then St. Anthony said to him, you're just like a village filled with beautiful lights and adorned, beautiful to look at, and inside filled with thieves and robbers. So we have this practice of looking one way on the outside, and we're particularly good at that at Orthodox, how we cross ourselves, how we venerate icons, how we do all that. We're very good at looking right on the outside, but on the inside, it's another matter. So the Jesus prayer in stillness is really in this context of how we clean up the inside. Not so much how we make the outside look good, but how we clean up the inside. I think Father Gabriel mentioned there's many different forms of the Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, the sinner, Son of the living God. And Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us and on your world. Father Roman, the spiritual father of blessed memory at the monastery, used to often say the only important word of the Jesus prayer is the word Jesus. And my reflections tonight are really going to be my attempt to understand what he meant by that. What did he mean by saying the only important word of the Jesus prayer is the word? That's the one you can't leave out. You can have a lot of other formulas, but you can't leave out the word Jesus. The sum total of what I can tell you about the Jesus prayer can really be expressed in two principles. I'm kind of a practical and a simple-minded guy, so I hope you don't find this too simplistic, but I really think if you read all of the great aesthetic literature, it really boils down to two principles of the Jesus Prayer, whatever formula you use. The first principle is this: calling upon the name of Jesus makes Jesus present. Calling upon the name of God makes God present. This is why in the Ten Commandments we have the prohibition of using God's name in vain, in an empty way. You can't call upon the name of God and not care if he's present or not. When you call upon the name of God, it makes God present. When you call upon the name of Jesus, it makes Jesus present. Okay? This is the fundamental. This is exactly why the one crucial word in the Jesus Prayer is the word Jesus. Because if you want Jesus to be present, you've got to say that name. It makes him present. Okay? Now, we'll extend this maybe if we have time a little bit later on, but if you call upon the name of Jesus from your heart, he's present in your heart. And this will be the sort of goal that Jesus Prayer is often called, the prayer of the heart. And finding the heart and entering in the heart and remaining in the heart becomes really a lifelong process so we can move toward this position of this continual remembrance of God in our hearts, of the person of Christ in our hearts. Okay? First principle, calling upon the name of Jesus makes Jesus present. See it in a bunch of different places in the ascetic literature of the church. The second principle is really very, very simple. In the presence of Jesus, passions, thoughts, logismi, the thoughts that we can't control, and demons flee. In the presence of Jesus, passions, thoughts, and demons flee. Nobody has to say anything. Nobody has to say, be gone. The Holy Fathers like to quote those particular gospel texts where Jesus comes in front of a demoniac and Jesus doesn't say anything. But the demoniac says, Son of God, why are you torturing us? Jesus hadn't said anything yet. But the Holy Fathers say that it's his mere presence that makes them want to flee. So you see these two principles. This is the Jesus Prayer. You want to obtain inner stillness? You call upon the name of Jesus. Jesus is present. Jesus is present. The passions, the thoughts that we can't control, the demonic temptations, they flee. So what's the connection with stillness? Well, what is it in our lives that's not still? It's the passions that pull us to and fro. Oh, I want another dessert. It's right here in front of me. How can I resist this piece of cake, you know? I'm so angry at being slighted by so-and-so. You know, I can't believe they didn't remember you from 3 years ago. Whatever it is, we take offense, we get angry, we become impatient, we're pulled to and fro by our passions, thoughts that we just can't stop. Up in the middle of the night, I'm sorry to confess this, but I was up for 3 hours last night because I couldn't control my thoughts. I'd like to come here and speak to you as a pro, but I'm just like a beginner. This is the way it is. We use the image of they've grabbed a hold of us, but in fact, we won't let go of them. And the same thing with temptations, demonic temptations. So these two principles really form the foundation of how it is that these things that infiltrate and penetrate this inner stillness and cause us such inner disturbance and turmoil, how it is that they become vanished. Of course, we have to practice. It's not easy. We'll get to that in a minute. But you see, those are the two basic principles. You call upon the name of Jesus. Jesus is present. When Jesus is present, anything that's antithetical to Jesus flees because it can't stand being in his presence. You see this all over in the Gospels. Like Jesus didn't come to judge the world. He says, the Son of Man didn't come to judge the world. He's the light who comes in the world. But the people who prefer evil, they prefer to flee into the darkness because they don't want their evil deeds to be seen in the light. So anything that's evil, anything that's antithetical to the light wants to flee from the light. So if you call upon the name of Jesus and you let him enter your life, anything that's in your life that doesn't belong there flees. That's just how it happens. We make battling passions and thoughts way too hard. There's lots of quotes from this. I don't want to use too many because I limited time, but let me give you a couple from this text called the Philokalia, a collection of texts that are especially devoted to the Jesus Prayer. I use that word just because we were joking about it earlier. But anyways, this is a collection of texts that you don't have to read it, but it's an important part of our Orthodox history. One of the quotes is that when Jesus is invoked, when you call on his name, he promptly burns up everything. not you. He promptly burns up everything. When you invoke his name, he promptly burns up everything. For our salvation lies in Christ alone. The Savior made this clear when he said, without me, you can do nothing. So we don't fight the battle. He does. Calling upon the name of Jesus Christ, we repel our malevolent adversaries. Jesus, when invoked, disperses them together with all of their fantasies. It's Jesus who disperses them, not me. I don't fight the battle. Jesus fights the battle. I call upon the name of Jesus. Jesus fights the battle because they simply flee in his presence. There's a place of God, the heaven of the heart, in which, because of God's presence, no demonic activity can make a stand. Not because there's some great big battle going on and I'm fighting and struggling and I'm winning and I'm losing. No, there's a place in the heart where simply because the presence of Jesus is there, no demonic activity can make a stand. No passions can make a stand. No thoughts can make a stand. So this is the invitation for us to learn how to enter into the way the fathers would put it is letting the Lord fight for us. There's a half a dozen to 10 places in the Old Testament where God speaks to his people of Israel and says, the Lord will fight for you. One of the places in Exodus 14 when Israel has their back against the Red Sea, because God told them to go to the Red Sea. He said, go over there. He didn't say, go over here. And then Pharaoh comes across. And so here they are between a rock and a hard place, between Pharaoh and the Red Sea. And Moses says to them, be still and the Lord will fight for you. And the Holy Fathers take this text to say, how is it that we become still? It's not just in the external battle. It's not just in the Pharaoh's army that's coming to attack us. We learn how to be still by letting the Lord fight the internal battle. There's outer storms, things that are chaos, traffic jams, offenses, slights, criticisms, judgments. But then there's internal storms, the anger, the envy, the impatience. Okay? So the Lord will fight the internal storms for us. Now, the larger context for this is simply our Lord's words to his disciples in when he's saying goodbye to them. That's their experience before the crucifixion. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, nor let them be fearful. This peace comes to us from him as a gift. It's not something that we can obtain on our own. The world has its own version of it. Go on a vacation. You have a distraction. You'll get rid of your tension. You'll get rid of that inner struggle. It's a fine thing. Go do that. That's fine. But that's the world's peace. Or take up mindfulness. That's an emptying of yourself. But the Christ peace that he offers is a filling of yourself. It's the presence of Christ in you. It's not simply the absence of those things that torment us in our life. It's the presence of Christ in our life. And so this stillness comes to us as a gift. And we say it again and again, as Father Angelo alluded to in the liturgy, the opening litany of all of our major services, in peace, let us pray to the Lord. Not the peace of the world, and we know that because the very second litany is for the peace from above and for the salvation of our souls. Not for the peace of this world, but we beg and ask God to grant us his peace, and we do that simply by calling on his name. Now, I want to try to be practical in the time that I have remaining, because as has been mentioned, you can say the Jesus prayer all over the time, everywhere you go, you know, waiting in line at the grocery store, in a traffic jam, but often we rely on the Jesus prayer when we're in the midst of a battle. We're getting pretty angry. We're getting pretty impatient. We're pretty envious. And we say, oh, I better pull out the Jesus prayer. I heard these talks on it, and maybe it will help. It's a lot like going into the basketball finals but never having had a practice. Or going into war but never having gone to boot camp. I don't even know which end of the gun to hang on to. Okay, and so the most important thing in our lives is that we actually learn how to use the Jesus Prayer practically in our lives. And so I simply want to suggest to you that you take 5 to 10 minutes, or if you don't like, you can just set a timer. for a certain amount of time, or you can go certain times around a prayer rope. It's fine. But don't make it long. Make it regular. You can pray 5 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day or twice a day. Every day is way better than 3 hours once a month. It's just you need to do it every single day, no matter what. And when you do it, sure, pray at all these other times. Pray in the car, pray in the grocery store, pray in washing the dishes. But every single day, you take one bit of time when you go in your closet, you shut the door, and everything is tuned out. If the house catches on fire, you can leave. Other than that, you stay there. If you remember that you're supposed to buy pretzels at the grocery store, you're not permitted to put it on the grocery list. If somebody calls to you, you ignore them. If you hear a honk out the window, you're not permitted to look out the window. If you think you see a bird fly by, you're not permitted to look. The only thing you do during that 5 minutes is say the Jesus prayer, and with every ounce of your being, you try to focus on the name of Jesus. And anything that comes into your mind is a distraction. Now, when you're washing the dishes or going to the store, that's fine. Say the Jesus prayer, but your mind's going to have these other things, like there's a red light, I better stop. That's good. But when you're in your prayer closet, no distractions. Anything else that comes up is a distraction. Why is this important? Because there we are learning how to say the Jesus prayer, and what we'll notice, we'll get discouraged because we'll find out we're very bad at it. We'll find out that all of this stuff comes up. And here's probably the simplest thing I want to encourage you with is that our God is a consuming fire. When we are in the presence of the living God, it is exactly the image that is given to us in the Psalms and the prophets. We are like silver in the refiner's fire. And what happens when you put silver in the refiner's fire? The dross, the impurities come to the top. When you put yourself in the presence of God, in Jesus' prayer, coming to Holy Communion, every unbelievably distracting thought, an inappropriate thought, an image will come to you. Why? Because you're in the refiner's fire. When you place yourself in the presence of God, the dross will come to the surface. And what you are learning in your 5 minutes of time or 10 minutes of time every single day is what to do with that dross. And what you do is you just keep saying the Jesus prayer, and you become aware that as this dross comes to the surface, it's not, oh Lord, I can't believe it. No good Orthodox Christian would have that thought. Or you get too frantic and discouraged and hopeless and jittery, and so you just give up and leave. I'm never going to get this Jesus prayer stuff. It's just for the monks. It's not for me. And so you give up and you go. But you're actually doing exactly the right thing is happening. What's happening is that the stuff that's inside of you is coming up. The anxieties, the worries, the fears. Oh, my kid's going to kindergarten today. I'm freaking out. And you can't get it off your mind. And so it comes up to you so that you can give it to God. So you can say again, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, the sinner. And he'll take that dross away. But what happens is if you give up at that moment, if you get discouraged, if you just say, oh, it's not working, something's wrong here, then that dross settles back down into the silver. And it comes up again the next time you put yourself in the presence of God. And you get discouraged, and the dross settles back down into the silver. And then eventually you just give up because it's never going to work for you. But if you read the Holy Fathers, you'll see that they go through this process time and time and time and time again. Of letting this, putting themselves in the presence of God, making Jesus present by calling on his name, and then the crud comes out. And in these, what I call up for myself, this is not from the Holy Fathers, I call these things practice sessions. I think of it like when I was a kid and I used to play sports, and you go to practice. And my 5 or 10 minutes in the morning or evening is like a practice session. And I'm learning what to do with this crud that comes out. I'm trying to focus on the name of Jesus, but I'm thinking about all these other things, these anxieties, worries, these fears that I have, this anger that I have. And it comes out, and I'm trying to learn how to give it to Jesus. I'm trying to learn how to give him the dross. I'm trying to learn to let him fight that battle for me. And then what happens, that's kind of like boot camp, or that's kind of like going to basketball practice. And then what happens, you get in the course of the day, you're at church and someone completely ignores you or completely gossips about you or slanders you or speaks unkindly about you, and you get that same feeling. You recognize that anger coming up. You recognize it as what you felt in the morning when you were praying. But now you know how to handle it. Now you know which end of the gun to hang on to. Now you know how to engage in that warfare. You know how not to rely on yourself. You know how to simply call on the name of Jesus, little by little. And then you notice that those thoughts, those passions, those fears, those anxieties, those temptations, they start to flee. Now, there's a large number of additional pitfalls and ways that we go wrong in saying the Jesus Prayer, but what I simply want to encourage you with in the strongest way that I can is that calling upon the name of Jesus makes Jesus present. So absolutely never use the name of the Lord your God in vain. Every single time you utter his name, he is present. And when you learn gradually to call upon him from your heart, he's present in your heart. And as you grow in that ability, those things that are in your heart that are tossing you to and fro, that are driving you crazy, that are thoughts that are driving you, you know, just insane, anger that's gripped you, envy, passions of one sort or another, lust, pornography, so prevalent in our culture, these things will start to flee. It's a long process, but they start to flee because Christ is fighting that battle for us. It's not us doubling our efforts. Oh, I have to try harder. I hear this so often in confession. Oh, Father, I need to try harder. No, you don't. Don't try harder. Call on the name of Jesus and let him fight the battle for you. And then little by little, if we're willing to practice, we have to practice in this little time set aside. If we practice, then we'll start to learn how to engage in that warfare in the course of our life. In those moments at work, in the parish, in our family, in the husband and wife, children and parents, when tensions rise and things get difficult, we'll have a resource within us because we'll know experientially that if we call upon the name of Jesus, our inner life will be transformed. We won't be controlled by that outer storm. The battle that's out there won't control the battle that's in here. So these are the words that I have to say to you. There's so many more ways in which I've gone wrong. I have a whole list of what I call pitfalls, 9 of them. I only gave you one. And I'm pretty sure 9's not the complete list. So there's lots of ways to go wrong, but the main thing I want to tell you is don't get discouraged. When you're putting yourself in the presence of Christ, the crud is supposed to come out because this is how you give it to Christ. He wants to show you who you are, created in the image of God, and who you're not. The envy, the strife, the gossip, that in you he wants to take away, and he'll be the one to take it away. Thank you. Father, come on.